The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and my co-host and very dear friend is Christy Matthews. So, this is a very special episode, one that has been very exciting for me, very educational for me, has pushed my buttons in more ways than one, mostly due to the technical aspect of things, because you guys, I'm an amateur, okay? I am an amateur when it comes to editing audio. I recorded these two interviews about 4 months ago. Okay, that's how challenging it's been for me. I almost lost the audio, and I might have shingles due to that. But 2 hours later on the phone with Apple and the lovely people who work on GarageBand software, I have the audio back. And also, it's two interviews. And so just trying to figure out how to... I won't bore you with this, but trying to figure out how to put the content together in a way that it makes sense to you, right? So I have the people that I interviewed, and then I have the clinical psychologist that I interviewed, and then mixing those together to create content that makes sense. So this episode is on polyamory. And if you have no idea what that is, the simplest terms I can put it in for you is it's when a person has it in their heart to love, be in love with romantically more than one person. And I swear it ties into wedding planning, but when this bride reached out to us, I had to dive deeper than more than just her question about wedding planning. I was curious. I find this fascinating. This is not the type of lifestyle that I lead, nor have it in my heart to lead. But a lot of people do. And therefore, I find it really, really interesting. So you listening might have one of many reactions to this. Some of you will love this. Some of you will be like, eh, whatever. Some of you might get very uncomfortable with this. And, you know, it's all the correct response because that's who you are. And I want to take a moment to just say to everyone that Chrissy and I are incredibly grateful for you. This podcast has been growing a lot lately. And for her and I mean, nowhere near what other, you know, podcast people out there expect or have, right? We're not backed by huge networks. We don't have production companies working on this. We don't have people looking into stories for us. I mean, it's literally Christy and I and the help of my husband doing all of the design graphic aspect of it. But it is majorly you listening, you telling friends and coworkers about our show, you writing reviews on iTunes or wherever you can. Some of you out there who are so graciously Patreon members and contributing your hard-earned money to us every month. We are beyond full in our hearts, and we appreciate you so much. We are so grateful for you, and we love you. So I want to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because, like I said, lately Our listeners have been growing, our social media presence. You know, it's not huge, it's not crazy, but it's growing. We've hit way over 100 ratings and reviews on iTunes. And so it's all because of you. And I just wanted to take that moment and thank you so very much. All right, now we're going to get to the episode. Let me get the housekeeping out of the way, you guys, okay? So that you are not interrupted from here on out. This is a two-part episode. Because there are two interviews, it's really, really long. So this week we're getting into a lot of clinical terms, a lot of the nitty-gritty, a lot of the really interesting stuff having to do with polyamory. And then next week we get into more of the wedding planning side of things with Cass and Tony and Lara. And of course, Dr. Magdalena Fossey is, you know, third time's a charm, Magdalena. She's been on our show a lot. She is, in and of herself, a very inspiring, very intelligent woman. So housekeeping, follow us on Instagram, please, please, please. We're just about to hit 800 followers. So do that if you're not already doing that. We're on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We are on Facebook at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. You know Christy loves Twitter at TBWP Podcast. You can email us, TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com. Patreon members, patreon.com/TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast. And finally, give us a call, leave us a voicemail so we can hear your voice and play it on our next You Ask, We Answer episode. That number is 415-723-1625. All right. I really hope you enjoy this episode. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think. We love, love, love finding new, interesting content having to do with weddings and life in general. So, without further ado, here we go. I'm in your lovely home. You've invited me here. So Cassandra emailed Christy and I about a month ago or more now, asking a wedding-related question and mentioning that you were a poly bride. And then I was like, what? Wait a minute, what? So I answered your question, and then I said, by the way, what does this mean? And so for those listening, I came to Boston again for a vacation to see my, what I call family, because I'm from the Bay Area and I lived here for 7 years. So this is like my other home. And coincidentally, you all live about 5 minutes from where I used to live. Like next town over. And when Cassandra emailed me, and then you kind of, you were really lovely explaining to me very openly about what polyamorous means and what it means to be, well, which we're going to get into more, a bride in this type of a relationship. So I'm really excited about this episode because it's really... Well, it's very different. It's not just about wedding planning. And we will talk about wedding planning. And you can pick my brain. She's like, yeah! She's got a big binder, you guys, that I saw as soon as I walked into the door. And I was very excited. I'll have to take a look through that. But what I really want to cover with this interview is talk to our listeners as if they had never even heard about polyamory. And maybe some who have, about what that means to you and how you came to be in this relationship, okay? So, Cassandra, you want to start? Cassandra, darn it!
It's okay. It's
Cassandra.
Like, ooh, she must have...
Cassandra.
Yeah, you can just say Cass.
Oh, Cass.
Yeah.
That's easy for me.
Yeah, just
okay,
say Cass.
Cass. Okay, we'll be informal. Okay.
Yeah.
Cass, you're on.
Okay, so... in terms of how our relationship kind of started. Tony and I had been together and monogamous for at least 4 or 5 years before we decided to open up our relationship, not really knowing what polyamory was at the time. And then years later, I met Lara and Tony recognized probably before I did that there was more to us than that met the eye, because I was just falling for her. I love telling people this, but he said to me, if anyone knew what I was like when I was falling in love, it was him, and that he wanted me to go for it and kind of see where things go, and that he was okay with it. And then after talking with Lara, I got to know the word polyamory. I had no idea. I was like, wow, there's a word to define how I feel about these people. We grow up thinking there's one person for you and there can only be. But Tony and I learned after building a strong relationship with each other that there is more, and that doesn't take away from the other person. In fact, like, I think we've bonded a lot over those kind of other relationships, and you learn a lot about yourself and you grow together a lot. So it's been like a learning experience for us too. I mean, I basically had to like come out to my family again because no one knew what polyamory was. And
what do you mean again? You came out to them at what, as before?
Yeah, well, in freshman year of high school when I was 14, I definitely remember telling my parents, like, I think I'm bisexual, and them just being like, oh, it's probably just a phase at your age. And then I just was like, okay, if that's what you think, like, that's cool. And I just didn't bring it up again, unless I was like, I'll only bring it up if I have a reason to. And then when Tony and I started dating senior year of high school, so I didn't have a reason to for quite a while until I met Lara.
I am here with Dr. Magdalena Fossey, who was a guest on our show, episodes 65 and 66. You had two episodes on relationship therapy and sex therapy. I'm going to go ahead and read her bio. Dr. Fossey is a clinical psychologist, a couples therapist, an AASECT certified sex therapist, on the faculty and board of directors of Psychodynamic Couples and Families Institute of New England, or PCFINE. PC Fine. PC Fine provides postgraduate training in couples therapy for experienced clinicians. In her private practice in Cambridge, Massachusetts, she works with people of all genders and sexual orientations struggling with issues of sexuality and intimacy. She is passionate about helping individuals and couples to achieve higher levels of relational and sexual satisfaction. That's a good passion to have. Many of her clients are consensually non-monogamous, and she has developed particular expertise counseling clients exploring challenges of polyamory. Lecturing on this subject in the Boston area, her colleagues have dubbed her a queen of polyamory. She is now writing a book on the subject for Routledge Publishing, entitled The Many Faces of Polyamory, A Clinical Perspective. So welcome back, Dr. Fossey, to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here again. And I've heard from a number of my existing and new patients that they listened to the podcast, to the previous recordings, and they found it helpful for a number of different reasons. So I wanted to share that with you as well.
That is awesome. I'm so excited to hear that. That's so good. Yeah, we've had a lot of listeners, you know, who write us an emails, comment saying, I love your subject matter. I listened to the therapist, the sex therapist. And so we're having so much fun. This is a wedding podcast, but any type of person gets married. That's one of the things we talk about as wedding planners, and as you too. I mean, any type of person needs therapy, and any type of person needs a wedding planner. So I love being able to do this and bring different subject matter. So what I want to talk about with you today is I want you to explain to our listeners who might have no idea what polyamory is, the clinical terms, right? Of what a polyamorous relationship is. And now that I've been sitting here with you for the last 15 minutes, it's way more than I thought.
Okay, so trying to make it simple and then making it complicated.
Yeah.
On the simple level, polyamory is a made-up word consisting of two parts, poly meaning multiple, amory meaning love, referring to love. And it's an idea and ideal, I would say, and I will explain later, that embraces the possibility that it's doable, possible, and not abnormal to love more than one person. And in many ways, it's not a surprise if we think about families. Parents love, presumably, each other, but also their kids and then many people in the family. However, in polyamory, the difference is that it's not a platonic kind of love, although it might exist, but it's a romantic connection, romantic relationship that may or may not be sexual. But sexual aspect of it is relevant. Because otherwise, why would we even need to talk about polyamory? We could just talk about friendships.
Right.
Where it gets complicated is with all the terminology or terminologies that are overlapping. So sometimes polyamory is used as an umbrella term to different forms of non-monogamy, consensual non-monogamy. Sometimes open relationships are used as an umbrella term. Sometimes consensual non-monogamy or partner non-monogamy is being used as another umbrella term. And so all these terms can fall underneath the other. So it also depends on who you talk to, that you might encounter slightly different perceptions and then how it all hangs together. Within non-monogamy, consensual non-monogamy, there are many different subtypes. Swinging is one of them, but it's a very different format because that implies two people being married and having a somewhat open relationship, so they engage sexually with other people. Usually it's done at parties, gatherings, but they are still a couple. So there is no inclusion of new partners. The partners are merely sexual partners. So it's not a love relationship like in polyamory.
I think the most common, as you call it, umbrella term is open, right? So I was talking to my friends about doing this interview with you, saying like, you know, what do you think, what are you interested in hearing about? And, you know, I said, you know, I'm going to be interviewing a polyamorous, I don't call it a couple, I call it a
family.
Okay. And they said, well, most people are like, well, does that mean an open relationship, right? And to me, now that I understand it, it doesn't, because open means, you know, like if my husband and I were to have an open relationship, that means we could go, you know, have sex with whoever we want, right? I mean, that's what an average person walking the street would think an open relationship means. But a polyamorous relationship is, there's like, I don't know, it's closed, right? Between however many people you're in love with.
You're asking great questions. And again, here is where the confusion comes in, because indeed in polyamory, it's not open free for all. It's consensual by agreement. But within that, it's also couples have, I'm referring to couples even within polyamory, because it's ultimately the relationships are more dyadic within the, poly family. And then so there are specific relationships and they are not always equal. So also, okay, so let me take a step to the side and say something about hierarchical and non-hierarchical polyamory. In hierarchical, so it's usually at the core is a primary couple and one or both partners have secondary and perhaps tertiary partners. But then it's consensual in a sense that it's usually by agreement how many partners they are comfortable with having. And usually there is a lot of discussion about being open to casual sex or not, and what kind of sex. So within polyamory, many people have their own rules / decisions. In non-hierarchical polyamory, the idea is that all partners involved are of equal, quote-unquote, value, connection. So there is no differentiation between primary or secondary, tertiary, etc. Sometimes the formations switch, change from hierarchical to non-hierarchical to many, many different formats. It's new words are being formed, I wouldn't say daily, but I hear constantly some new terms, and then my patients bringing new terms to me, and then it's like, oh, I just learned this term. So within the community, the new words are being formed to describe the relational constellations.
A lot of them don't know what polyamory is, and that's really hard to explain to people with such strong beliefs in monogamy. They think you're trying to tell them what to believe, or you're like, no, I'm just telling you this is what's been good for me. You can do whatever you want. Like, it's fine.
So you and Tony were together 5 years.
Yeah, like 4 or 5.
So you started going out in high school.
Yeah.
What year in high school?
Senior year.
Senior year. And then after you graduated, did you guys move in together?
After
we moved in together, after I was in college for 2 years, he had moved to Ohio for about a year and a half of our relationship after high school. His mom lives there. And so he was there for a year and a half. I was living in the dorms. And then I got him to move back to New England and we got our first apartment, when we were 20. So
okay, and so you, Cass, met Lara where? How did you guys meet?
So we have a mutual friend, someone I met in high school. We've been friends. She went to school up here. Cassandra at the time was working at a cafe and happened to be the barista that, and her usual self, she chatted up someone. and they formed a friendship. And then my friend had a New Year's party and we were all invited and we just had really good conversation and there was some kind of chemistry. I didn't even know that they were in an open relationship. Both Tony and Cassandra were there. I just had a good time and then I brought her up later to my friends. I don't really remember exactly what it was, but I brought it up that I had a good time. And our mutual friend goes, oh, you know they're open, right? And I was like, okay. And then I friended her on Facebook, and 3 years later, we're here.
So I didn't know you guys were open before. Had you always been open?
I think it was maybe when we were like 21 or 2 or something like that, somewhere around there. We had been living together for a few years, and I work in restaurants, and like, you know, I like used to party a lot and stuff when I was like, you know, in my early 20s and stuff. And to me, it made sense. And I talked about it with Cass, the whole like opening up the relationship sort of thing, just to see what happens. Nothing serious or anything like that. And it kind of started like that and started well, and it worked out. And then, you know, once Cass and Lara met, you know, I mean, like she said, I recognized there was a little something more to it. So I was like, just see what happens. And that was before we even knew what polyamory was.
Also, I remember when we decided to open up our relationship, although it was so comforting to talk to you about it and you'd be like, yeah, I feel that way too. But because I had come out as bisexual, and then it wasn't long after that I started dating Tony, I never had any like relationship with a woman. And it was kind of this like thing I was thinking about a lot and I felt really guilty about. And I was like, I need to discuss that with him and see how he feels about that. And I was like, hey, like, you know, I feel like there's this part of my life that I didn't get to experience and I don't really know how to move forward with that or what to do. So we kind of said, okay, well, let's, you know, open up our relationship. And I've definitely noticed there are couples that have this like, don't ask, don't tell mentality. But that's kind of the complete opposite of how we handled it. That didn't really even come up. It was more of a, like, if you feel like you can't tell me, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And that's how we always handled it. Like, I remember waiting for him to come home sometimes or vice versa. And like, I couldn't wait to tell him about my night, or I couldn't wait to hear about his night. And it was really fun kind of getting to know that side of someone, of like, you get to kind of re-experience those like beginning bubbles that you get, you know, in a relationship or when you're dating someone, but like through your partner. And it's, I don't know, it's really exciting.
Most of the couples or individuals that I see, they can be put in two different groups. The first group is people who are married, have been married for a number of years, and now after 10 plus years, they decide that, you know, we still want to explore something more sexually. We've been exclusive, monogamous, and we still feel like there is place for more in our relationship. It doesn't mean that it always goes as easy as I'm describing. Usually it's far more conflict involved. And but then they decide to open up. So now back to the term opening up. So opening up typically means that it was a close relationship, more often than not a marriage, and now it's the marriage is being open. But again, it's not necessarily free for all, because it's still, it depends on the couple's agreement. You know, some couples practice don't ask, don't tell policy. So they know that, okay, you can have sexual interactions with other people, just I just don't want to hear about that. Well, it's polyamorous. It's different from cheating. Because cheating, you don't tell. And here it's, I know this is happening. I don't want to know the details. Don't tell me what you did and with whom. But you have my permission to be open.
All right. So there's probably a lot of people that for the last 5 minutes of you talking got really like uncomfortable, not insecure, uncomfortable, yeah. Because you think about relationships, a life partner being two people. That's just the way we're programmed, right? And so probably hearing open relationship and wondering right away, honestly, what comes to mind, not probably before I had all this talking with Magdalena, mm-hmm. is you're just out screwing whoever you want to screw. It's all about sex. Mm-hmm. So when you first brought up the idea of open relationship, did you bring it up, Tony, first?
I think I did.
Yeah. Did you have any negative reaction to that, Cass, at all when he said something? I mean, was there any arguments or hurt feelings or tears or anything like that?
I remember it being a long conversation. Yeah. Like, I remember it being like a deep breath in of like, okay, like, let's understand where we're both coming from. Because I've just never felt deprived from Tony. So like, it would be different if like, I'm like, oh man, like Tony comes home late all the time and he doesn't tell me where he is. And then he says like, oh, let's have an open relationship. But we had a very healthy relationship. And yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, we had a very comfortable relationship with each other. I never felt like I couldn't talk to him or he couldn't talk to me. Like, I know it's like, typically I'm the talker, but I know like when it matters that he's going to be like, hey, like this is what I'm feeling about this. And I trusted that. So when it was brought up, like, at the time, like, personally, I was insecure about myself. I've lost like 75 pounds since then. So like the huge transition.
We have that in common.
I love your story. I've heard as I'm listening, I'm like, oh my God, I was telling everyone about your morning routine. And I was like, I have a morning routine too. This is so cool. But so Tony and I have always kind of had a good communication between us. And I think that's when it came up, it was definitely like, okay, I need to get past my own insecurities. Like, is he looking for someone that's,
Sorry, you were heavier then?
Yeah, I was heavier then.
Mm-hmm. And you were like this? Have you always been like this?
This is Tony.
Damn, man.
I know.
Wait till you're 40. You're more muscular. You're a little more built.
Well, I do stuff.
Yeah. Well, you work really hard.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, because you're young. I mean, you guys were together. If you started going out when you were like 18,
17,
yeah. And this is 5 years later.
More. This is 10 and a half years.
Well, no, when you had the discussion about open,
five years later,
18, 19, 20, 21, you were 22.
Yeah.
I mean, you were very young.
Yeah.
But this is quite impressive. This like. Really open way, again, there's that word open, of communicating. I mean, that's so key in any relationship, if there's anything I've learned, is the communication. And I can't say that at 22, and my husband and I were definitely together from the same age you guys were, that we were so communicative. We were partying a lot. So I don't know that there was time to really, we were partying and working, that's it. All right, so then you became open, and what did that mean to you, being open?
At least for me, it was more or less like, you know, we were young, we were 20-something, you know, and neither one of us had ever been single before, so we could be single without having to leave each other. So it's not like, you know, I wasn't going to like clubs or anything, like trying to like, you know, hit on. Right. Yeah. No, I'm totally not like that or anything like that. Like I was going to like dive bars with my friends after work at like, you know, 1 in the morning, stuff like that kind of stuff. So, you know, it kind of was this, you know,
freedom.
Right. Yeah. And it was mostly mental, too, because like we weren't like going around like screwing around like all the time either.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it happened. But it was like few and far between, you know, on like a regular, like a normal kind of.
You lived
basis.
Together.
Yeah, we lived together, too. So,
so at the end of the night, you'd always come home to each other? I mean, mm-hmm. did you have rules about this?
I think we had some rules. Yeah, like, you know, don't, like, show up, you know, in the middle of the night with a lady, you know, or something like that.
Maybe home.
Yeah, or, like, talk about it beforehand. Because, like, you know, we talk about everything beforehand, you know, like, hey, I think I might stay out late, like, don't wait up for me, that kind of thing, you know. So, you know, we know exactly where we're at all times.
So you were still like communicating as a couple. I'm gonna go out tonight. Are you okay with that? Or I'm gonna talk to this person. But you were still at the end of the day, you were still telling each other that.
Oh, absolutely.
You were still asking permission in certain aspects, right? But it was this mental freedom more than anything that you had the options to do what you felt you wanted to do. So did you really take, I mean, did you guys just really just hook up with other people often for a while? Or at first were you like, woohoo, like.
Well, I mean, for me, like, you know, at first I was just like, you know, I walked into work like, ladies, you know, but. Yeah, but like, you know, me personally, I'm more of like not an introvert or anything like that, but you know, I'm kind of timid around, you know, other people, especially women. So like, you know, normal amount, not, you know, I know more single people that like are crazier than I am, you know what I mean? And I'm supposed to be the one who's like, you know, oh, you can have as many girlfriends as you want, but it's really not like that all the time, you know?
I don't know, for me, like, I definitely like at first felt like, okay, like I can do whatever I want. This is great. But I'm very consistent with people. Like if I hung out with someone or I hooked up with someone and I wasn't feeling it, I probably wouldn't contact with it or pursue that any further. It was more of like almost a second friendship sometimes. Like the people that I hooked up with consistently, like those are what mattered to me. But it was just kind of like, it was nice that I could be out and be like, oh, I'm really feeling this, and text Tony and be like, hang on, I just have to text my boyfriend. Hi, honey. This is the situation. I'm just going to be a little later. Is that cool? You know,
there's no jealousy.
Well, jealousy to me is an umbrella term. Like, that's like saying you're angry, but that doesn't tell you anything. That doesn't tell you anything. Saying you're jealous doesn't tell, like, that doesn't, as a partner, if I were to tell you, oh, I'm jealous. Okay. What does that mean? What's packed inside that? Because maybe I'm jealous because he's going out 3 times this week and I'm, you know, I've had X amount of days off and I want to hang out. And that's why I'm jealous. I'm not jealous because it's another person. I'm just like, hey, I miss you.
You have no feelings about intimacy. Yes, we talked. Yes.
I just also wanted to include that, jealousy can often be called like a symptom, actually, rather than an actual emotion itself. Because, like Cassandra said, it's an umbrella term in a lot of ways. Like, let's say you have back pain and you have sciatica, and so you have nerve pain. That's actually also just a symptom. So what is that actually from? It's from something that's pinching it, you know? So what is making you feel insecure in whatever the situation is that would make you, quote unquote, feel jealous? So just to kind of also clarify, the relationship that we are in, Cassandra is my partner, and she is also Tony's partner. But Tony and I are not partners in the same way.
Sexually or
romantically, it's different. It's more platonic, with a little like cuddling here and goodnight kisses there. There are a lot of different terms that people throw out in in the polyverse, I would say, of people. For every single poly relationship is different. No one is the same. And in this case, you know, some people might call Cassandra the pivot or the V. We're in a V relationship rather than like a tri or tripod, because not all three of us are dating in the same way. Which can be very confusing for a lot of people, especially, you know, family members. And when trying to explain it to people as well, they just kind of assume that Tony and I also have that kind of relationship, but we don't.
They're just thinking there's big orgies going around.
Exactly. And yes, that definitely is something that comes to mind for most people. It kind of depends on either their comfort level with you or their ethics and manners of how they want to ask that. And we like to kind of think like, well, would you ask something related to the sexual life of someone you know who's monogamous?
Totally.
Like, how would you ask that?
Do you guys sleep together? Yeah, do you sleep together?
We do sleep together. That was one of our...
Yes,
we...
Yeah,
that was our first real investment together, because we realized the queen size was just a little too tight.
Tony's got wide shoulders. So take care of him.
Cass sleeps in the middle.
Okay, so Tony, you're in a relationship with Cass. And Lara, you're in a relationship with Cass. Interesting. But you and Tony you guys feel like family, right? Like you love each other platonically. Mm-hmm. So there's never, sorry, you don't have to answer this, been sex between the three of you?
There has. Especially in the beginning of our relationship, it was so tense because we don't know how to be around each other. We've never experienced this kind of relationship. Like, Lara just was like, wow, I like girls, and bam, now I'm in a poly relationship. Like, so it was kind of a lot to take on. So we were intimate within the first year of dating. And I think, I can't speak for you guys. Mm-hmm. But I think it eased a lot of tension between all of us in some way. Like, well, it puts you in a situation, at least it did for me, of like, okay, what are you comfortable with? Because you don't know. I didn't know I'd be comfortable having two relationships. Like, so you kind of learn as you go. But I think that really helped kind of define how we are with each other and how it feels. It wasn't, you know, if it's like, oh, I'm really upset that she's pleasing him and not me or something. Like, for me, it didn't feel that way. And that's how I knew that our relationship was something on a different level, that we could have this relationship, that it wasn't just some like, I just want things to be amazing and like some fantasy. It was like, no, like, we're all communicating, we're all feeling things and talking to each other about it, and it's working and it's good for us.
Do you have people that come in that are married in polyamorous relationships? I mean, what percentage are married and what percentage are not or will never get married? What is the thought process on marriage and polyamorous families?
That's another excellent observation and point you are making. Why getting married if you are polyamorous? What I hear from other colleagues, the language of polyamory has entered our society, and especially among the younger generation, that young people often talk about poly as that was the norm. So let's say like people in their 20s, they might actually enter the relational world already exploring right and left and not thinking about commitment necessarily. So marriage within polyamory exists, but more typically than not, people enter polyamory already being married. That's far more common. People who have been in a relationship and then in poly relationship and deciding to get married is less usual. And it's also within polyamory, which is a very open-minded community on the overall, like in any community, we are humans, we have judgments, and then there are judgments within poly community towards people, for example, who are getting married, because it feels like siding with the dark forces, the dark the dark monogamy, the evil monogamy. So it can be challenging because if the people are deeply involved in the community and the community is suddenly looking at them with suspiciousness, that's incredibly painful, and it might happen.
So this is pretty controversial in the community of polyamory, as it is to the community of those out there listening that are getting married.
Yes.
Because legally, it's between two people. And I was also, I won't go too far off the subject, but we've made leaps and bounds with the LGBTQ community with regard to marriage. You know, now it's not just between a man and a woman, right? So that's why probably a lot of you out there listening are going, what is she doing with this episode? Like, it's marriage is between two people. And why would somebody choose to get married who's in a polyamorous relationship?
All right. Now I'm going to ask the big question that probably most people are wondering, other than the sex stuff. That was pretty good too. why are you getting married when marriage is only between two people? And how did you decide that it would be Cass and Tony? Right? Because the two of you can get married. Lara and Cass, you can get married. So why are you doing this? I want to understand this.
Well, I know for me, I mean, like, before we opened up the relationship and stuff, I mean, I've always been head over heels for Cass, and I always knew I wanted to marry her. So I don't care how many partners you have. You know, like, we decided that long ago, I think. So we're just kind of making good on our you know, promises to each other.
As the person not getting married, I feel like I should throw it out there that I entered the relationship fully knowing that they were going to get married.
Oh, there was,
No, but I... I mean, they'd been together for 7-ish years at that point, and I, as soon as I started to get to know them, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no.
Lara, do you have any feelings about them getting married? Is there any, like, umbrella term insecurities, or do you sometimes feel left out at all, or are you involved in the wedding planning? Are you going to be involved in the ceremony?
I am involved with the wedding planning and the ceremony. I'm kind of, she hasn't asked her bridesmaids just yet, but I know I'm going to be kind of co-maid of honor a little bit. And I know even when the conversation started going towards that their marriage was going to actually happen, that Cassandra has always wanted to involve me as much as she can and, you know, give me little roles in it that you wouldn't necessarily give a bridesmaid generally. I mean, I get to spend a lot more time with her for one, like all the time, day of. When Tony proposed to her, I knew what was happening. Like she knew it was coming, but not really exactly when. And so Tony and I were kind of like trying to figure out like how to make it work and surprise her in a good way. So my involvement there, I got to know when it was happening. I got to film it. I got to take pictures and be very intimate and like be in a very intimate relationship and situation that a lot of people wouldn't feel as comfortable as I did and do. Yeah, I do at times, of course, feel different insecurities about this. I was raised Roman Catholic. My mom's family is still very religious. And so I grew up with the idea that marriage is a sacrament. And even though I don't follow any religion at this point, I do consider myself spiritual. But, you know, when you... For anyone else who's out there who has grown up in a particular religion, it's kind of hard to shake some of those things. So there are definitely times where I think about myself in Tony's position, but it's fleeting moments. And as we've said, we pretty much talk about everything. Anytime that I've felt it, I've mentioned it. And Cassandra and Tony have both told me, you know, if something seems too much, if, you know, we need to step back about something or talk about it, let us know. So it's clear path of communication there. And for me, I'm genuinely just excited and thrilled for them. And I mean, I have cried multiple times watching their video that I took and was there. So I mean, I'm going to be such a crybaby that day. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So Cassandra, you answer my question. Like, why are you getting married? What does it mean to you? And how do you feel? Do you ever feel a little bit guilty that Lara, that you're not marrying her? And maybe someday things will change where more than one person can get married, and if so, you'd probably jump right on that, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why are you marrying Tony?
Okay, so in terms of Tony and I mean, a lot of marriage, I'd like to separate two ideas of marriage in my mind, at least how I think of it. There's the legal part of marriage, and then there is the spiritual part of marriage. And although I'm not specifically religious, I do believe there is like some higher force or something guiding us somewhere to be accountable to. And that's the energy I feel when we're gathering all these people that we love and celebrating our relationship and saying like, hey, like we've been together over a decade. Like we're serious about this. We want to be together for the rest of our lives. We want to share that with all of you, share that happiness with all of you. And then there's the part of marriage that is, okay, you have better health insurance than I do. let's work on that. So when I think about marriage, I really do try to separate those ideas, because Lara and I have talked about having a commitment ceremony. Yeah. So to me, it kind of does ease a large part of myself being able to have that conversation with her and be like, you know, she knows how long Tony and I have been together, and she knows us better than anyone because she lives with us and sees how we interact. And if she's going to stand by me and support me on my wedding day, then who shouldn't? You know, I feel that way. And, you know, whether I have her do an extra something by reading something the day of, or like, I'm so grateful I get to spend that whole day with her. Like, I get my best friends and I get my other partner, and I can't think of a better way to help me prepare for marrying Tony and just be so in that moment. And I'm so excited for that. And I've always pictured marrying Tony. We've always talked about it within a couple years of our relationship. Like, it's always been there. So to have it be so real feels so good. And I'm just excited to be able to celebrate. I'm excited to be with everyone. And to me, it's a lot about the connection to be made with everyone that has loved and supported us, and thank them for being there for us, and especially up to this new chapter that we're going. It's not a new book. It's just a new chapter, you know.
I imagine, because there is a stigma with this, societal, that it's hard for a lot of these families in this type of a relationship to be open and honest to family. Or maybe one partner is totally open and their family comes around and they have these nice dinners, and maybe another partner is not open and they're just their friends, or even all of their friends. Like, you know, I can't imagine, you know, like their best friends in life they grew up with, and they're like, hey, by the way, this is my partner and this is my partner. What are you hearing? Like, are they able to be open with their loved ones?
Well, that's one of the most complicated parts. Assuming that the couple or the family, the poly family in question, that they are open with each other, and then so opening up to other people. And opening up to friends, it's typically easier, or to selected friends, but then perhaps to expand it to other friends. Opening up to families is usually pretty tough, and we still, with all the advances in the LGBT field, but then also in terms of greater openness about sexuality, we still live in a society that where heteronormativity, basically the assumption that relationship marriage is predominantly heterosexual, and mononormativity refers to monogamy. Okay. So that's the prevailing relational format. Okay. And families, understandably, have difficulties imagining, like, what does it mean? You know, what's that about? Like, how does it actually work? Because it goes against every grain of their beliefs, their traditions, and it's really hard to wrap one's mind around, you know, how can it be sustained? And then, so usually the process of coming out to families is complex and not infrequently rather painful.
I'm curious to know, will all your guests be aware? Does everyone know that you're in a polyamorous relationship? Everyone that will be at the wedding?
All right. So not everyone technically knows that we're polyamorous, but I also don't go out of my way to hide it. When I'm posting things on Facebook, I don't leave out certain terms or anything. I'm just like, there's definitely times when I've mentioned being poly, or I've put articles on there. So anyone connected with Facebook probably has a strong idea and whoever has decided to talk to my mom. Because when you are poly, no one wants to talk to you about it. They just want to ask, like, or at least what I've experienced in my family, a lot of the time, there's like those close people to you, right? And then everyone else asks those close people to you. They don't typically just go right for the gut. And I always say to my family, you know, have them message me or talk to me. I'm an open book. I'm okay with educating people on this. If they're rude, I'll shut them down. But other than that, I'm open to that. It's cool. It's a conversation. But most people don't ask you. They just kind of develop their assumptions. And yeah, it's a tough subject. And, you know, like, I also don't want to be like in their face about it. Because to
hey
me,
guys,
right?
Hi.
Exactly. I don't want to be like, I don't want to come off as like, oh, this is the superior lifestyle. Like, I don't want them to feel threatened. I just like, I'm happy. And if they want to know why I'm so happy and they ask, I'm going to explain my relationships. And that's, you know, a primary part of my life. So most people will know. But whoever doesn't will definitely find out.
I think my brothers and most of my cousins know, just because I'm like really close to them and I talk to them pretty much a couple times a week and stuff like that. But like, I think I've got like maybe like an aunt and like one of my grandmothers who just like, you know, like she says, I'm not like shouting it out to everyone. And if you've put the dots together, like, good job. But, you know, I don't really care what they think anyway.
So you're a interviewee for this podcast. The fact that she could come out to her family and her family is supportive, that's a wonderful story. And not many people are as lucky.
Do you get along well with her dad, Tony?
I do. At first, I mean, like, you know, you can't see me, but I have, like, tattoos. I have, like, gauge ears and stuff. Like, he was kind of leery, you know, because, you know, I look like, you're right, exactly. Like, I kind of like come off as a punk. I get it. But, you know, I stuck around, and after a while, once he knew how sure she was, that was all he needed. And then, you know, we're not, like, buddies or anything, but he, you know, he's not bothered by me. That's all I can ask for.
Lara, how do you get along with Cass's parents?
I get along with her parents very well. Today's her mom's birthday, so I texted her this morning and said happy birthday. I haven't really had many opportunities to really get to know her dad much here and there, but I think we get along just fine.
He loves that I have a girlfriend.
He does? My dad loves shopping. And I have a girlfriend, and he's like, now I can buy twice as much jewelry. So, like, my dad gets me a Valentine's Day gift every year. So now we each get one. Like, our Christmas presents, he's like, well, I thought, like, we both each got, like, a jacket, the brown leather jacket and the black one.
Are you wearing matching clothes?
No. But it's interesting because, like, one will definitely be, like, my style, and one's definitely Lara's style. And he'll be like, I just got them both. I think you'll like them. Like, decide whose is whose. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, he gets stuff at Dress Barn and jewelry and stuff. I think he loves it. She's gotten some good presents, I gotta say. Yeah, he's better at picking stuff out for women than guys. So he's like, oh, cool. It's fun.
And then how do you, Cass, get along with Lara and Tony's family?
Tony's family I met starting a long time ago. So we've had a long time for our relationship to develop. I was definitely very nervous at first, but I was also in high school. So who wouldn't be? I was terrified. I was like, I don't know anything about myself. But over the years, like, I know his younger brother I'm very close with. We lived with his older brother. I've definitely had a great time spent with his mom. And his, you know, his dad as well. So I think I get along very well with them. With Lara's family, I haven't had a ton of time to be able to hang out with them. I feel like I get along with her mom very well. And her dad in so many ways reminds me of my dad sometimes. And it's so weird. Like, she'll be with my dad and just be like, weird. Because they have these odd habits that they both do sometimes. And they're both like a similar build and height. And it's just very interesting. So I kind of feel like I feel cool with him. Definitely. Yeah.
Are you guys the same age?
Lara is a year younger than me. And yeah, and Tony is a few months older than me.
So how old are you?
I'm 28. Lara's 27, Tony's 28. Yeah.
Also, I just want to put out there, my family is very large. My parents are divorced. My mom is one of nine. My dad is one of eight. My dad has been remarried for 13 years now, I think. My mom's been with the same guy for probably 13, 14 years. So, and then both of those steps have their own kids too. So I have a very, very large family. So not everyone knows about me being poly. Some people do. Everyone knows that I'm in a relationship with Cassandra. They just don't always know. They don't. Right, right. I identify as being pansexual because I just don't really care about one particular thing. Yeah, gender, sexual identity, whatever. If I jive, I jive. that's how I'm feeling. I'm if we jive, you know. I mean, I went.
Stop it.
I went to an all women's college and. Many people are very surprised to learn that I did not have any relationships with women until after college, and it was with Cassandra. I had been with only men, monogamous relationships up until that point, and I thought of this, every single thing about this was new to me, except the terms, because at all women's colleges, you just end up talking about a lot of stuff like that.
Children. Do you have a lot of families that have children? And is it common in the community, polyamorous community?
Well, there are children in poly community. Quite a few of them, actually. And which is not a surprise if you think about that most, you know, people who open up, they usually were in a monogamous relationship beforehand and then and had children. Now they are open and then... there is the emerging research on polyamory relationships. So it's still very early, but then the indicators are that children growing up in poly families actually are very well adjusted. They are not worse off by any means than kids growing up in monogamous families. So, and then it's a lot to be said about that, because if you have access to multiple adults who are available, and so it's sort of like in the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And then here, like if more people can share the responsibility of taking care of children, so it can actually be supportive to everyone. And then for kids, then the possibility of developing healthy attachments with multiple people, that's usually very helpful for relationally. And then... As a good start in life. But again, that implies that relationships are at the level where the conflict is resolved, and it's not the presence of the conflict, it's the lack of repair.
And then I'm going to ask the annoying question that people ask, you know, monogamous people, straight people, when they get married. Are you going to have children?
Oh, man.
Are you going to have any babies? Huh? And how will that work? Seriously. How will that work?
I like the idea of having kids. I mean, we're not really in any hurry, obviously. You know, we're just getting married. You know, we're only 28, that kind of thing. But, I mean, I'd entertain the idea, you know. Even, like, we talked about it before. Like, even, like, we'd be open to adopting, too. You know, we just feel like we'd be good parents. We've had interesting parental experiences in our own lives, and we feel, you know, at least I feel that, you know, I could give something to, you know, a kid, you know, something worth learning and passing on, that kind of thing. And I mean, I know I know that certain parents have strengths and weaknesses, you know. I mean, I grew up in a very, my family is very chaotic. I had the two moms for a while. My dad has always just been himself, off doing whatever it is he does. My mom was, it wasn't legal in Rhode Island yet, but my mom was like married, quote unquote, to my stepmom. So we had, it was mom and her three. Well, she's bi, so okay. She's married to a man now. So yeah, that was all kind of. But
she was
for
married to a woman.
Yeah,
woman.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So like, it was mom and then the three boys and then Sue and the three girls. So we were like the lesbian Brady Bunch. But you know.
I love it.
But yeah, that was like, you know, that was my childhood. So like growing up into like, you know, stranger territory and stuff like that, I was just bringing on like.
I can't believe how much I get asked that question. I just have to comment on that too. Like, cause I saying like, oh, what everybody asks, it's like, yeah, I'm like, I just thought about this. It took us 10 and a half years to commit to this. And now you're asking me about children. Like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I didn't want my IUD anymore. And now you want me to pop a baby out. I don't understand. Like, it just blows my mind. But I would love to have kids. I am open to adoption. My mom is a social worker and there are just so many kids that don't get cared for the way that they should deserve, that would support them and help them succeed. And I would love to be a part of changing that trajectory for them. So that's something I'm very open to. I know that as like a poly family that can be difficult at times, just because people don't understand that kind of relationship and think it's not good for children. Although we got this pamphlet recently that we read through called, I know it's around here. When someone you know is polyamorous, or when someone you love is polyamorous. And we read through it and I thought it was interesting. It's written by someone who's monogamous. So it's a really interesting perspective. But when they talk about the families, and she, I think she said she had interactions with 12 different families or 12 to something around that number. And the thing that the kids complained the most about was that they had to keep their lies straight because there's more people to get your story with. So that was the biggest issue, getting caught doing more stuff. But other than that, like, they have more accessibility to have a ride somewhere. They have more support financially and emotionally, you know, as long as it's a healthy relationship. And that goes with monogamous relationships as well.
And for me, I definitely like the idea of having a family together. I personally, growing up, I never, you know, thought about being a bride. I never really thought about having kids of my own. I have a lot of health, chronic health issues. And so for me, I never really wanted a biological child, just because I wouldn't want to pass those things along. So in the relationship now, I mean, I will be able to help raise a kid with other people, and that's really great. And we've talked about that. I think one of the things that Cassandra has worried is, okay, who's going to be called mom and who's going to be called mommy and mama, and how does that work? So, you know, we'll figure that out. And for me, there's the one thing that I worry about is just legal things, and that's something to be determined and to figure out in the future. For adoption, for having a child anyway, for, you know, medical reasons, legal guardianship, and just, you know, making sure that we can all be a part of that child or children's lives for their benefit. So,
do you feel like a monogamous lifetime relationship can work, or do you feel like it's unrealistic?
It can work. Absolutely. And the word work is the key part. And that applies once more to monogamy and to polyamory. For relationships, any kind of a relationship to be fulfilling, to work, it requires investment. It's the opposite of how Hollywood portrays marriage. The number of times I've heard people express in my office, gosh, I wish somebody told me when I was young that marriage is a lot of work. I would be more prepared. Socially, culturally, we're told that marriage or relationships are simple, but they are not. They don't come with any manual to follow. It's figuring it out. And I see a lot of monogamous couples who were truly happily married. I'm thinking right now, like, I'm working with a couple who are in their 60s, and they are so profoundly in love, and they've been together for 40 years. And so, like, why are they here? You know, they, of course, all relationships have some issues, and then, but in their case, it's not any doubt about the love. And then they are sexually active and then really enjoying it. So yes, monogamous relationships can be fulfilling, can exist. And the challenges that are specific to monogamy are that, but also actually that's not so different from polyamory. Yes, there are differences, but then once people get to know each other very well, intimacy is increasing, it's deepening. But with deepening of intimacy, the novelty is gone, and we want both. We respond to novelty. So long-term couples, they are facing the challenge of keeping the relationship alive and active. So that's also investment. And it's not enough if one partner is investing, trying to bring some energy to the relationship so it doesn't become stale. Both need to do that. Polyamorous relationships can be long-term relationships as well, but then if the energy goes out of the relationship, if too much of this energy goes to other liaisons and then other relationships, so then the primary relationship, let's call it primary, is suffering. There is no relationship that actually thrives without any attention and affection given to it.
And on that note, we will wrap up this part one of a two-part episode on polyamory and wedding planning. Next week, we will talk about the actual wedding and hear a little bit more from Magdalena, Cass, Lara, and Tony. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us your feedback. Happy planning, everyone. Bye-bye.